Okay, so are you ready to dive into something a little unexpected today?
I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
Okay, well, we're going to be talking about Swedish forests,
Okay.
but not the typical like pines and conifers you might be picturing.
Really? So what are we focusing on then?
This time we're taking a deep dive into the world of Swedish oaks.
Swedish oaks. This should be interesting. I've always pictured Sweden as a primarily conifer-dominated landscape.
Me too. But there's a fascinating scientific paper that really dives into oak regeneration patterns in Sweden, and it had me hooked.
Oh, I can imagine. I'm always fascinated by these less talked about aspects of forest ecosystems. What's the paper called?
It's called Regeneration Patterns of Native and Introduced Oak Species in Sweden, investigating the roles of latitude, age, and environmental gradients.
Okay, so looking at how oaks are regenerating or not in different parts of Sweden, and how those patterns are influenced by various factors, sounds like a pretty comprehensive study.
It does, right?
Yeah.
And it's amazing how much we can learn about an ecosystem just by looking at one type of tree.
Absolutely. Trees can tell us so much about the history of a place, the environmental conditions, the interactions between different species. It's all there if you know how to read the signs.
So true. So to set the scene a little bit for our listeners who might not be familiar with Swedish forests, paint a picture for us. What's the deal with oaks in Sweden? Are they common?
Not really, actually. They're kind of the underdogs of the Swedish forest.
Underdogs? How so?
Well, when you think of Scandinavian forests, you typically picture those vast stretches of conifers, right? Pine, spruce, fir, that sort of
All
thing.
right.
Oaks in Sweden, they only make up about 1% of the productive forest land. So they're definitely not the dominant species by any means.
Wow, only 1%. That's pretty surprising. So they're really clinging on in there.
They are, and that's part of what makes this research so interesting. It's really looking at how these oak populations are persisting and potentially even expanding their range, despite not being the most abundant species around.
Okay, so we've got these oak trees, kind of like the underdogs of the Swedish forest, hanging on by a thread. What kind of oak trees are we actually talking about here?
Right, so in this study, we've got two native oak species that are at the heart of it all. The first is the pedunculate oak, which you might also know by its scientific name, Quercus robur.
Quercus robur, got it. And the second one.
But the second one is the sessile oak, also known as Quercus petraea. Both of these are native to Sweden, and they're the main focus of the research when it comes to understanding oak regeneration in this region.
Okay, two native species, but I have a feeling this is where the story gets a little more complicated. Am I right?
You are definitely right. There's a third oak species that plays a role in this whole story, and it's not native to Sweden. This is the northern red oak, or Quercus rubra.
A non-native species. Okay, now things are getting interesting. So, how did this northern red oak end up in Sweden?
Well, it was actually introduced intentionally for forestry purposes.
So it's kind of a guest star in this whole ecosystem drama.
Exactly. And its presence adds a whole other layer of complexity to the story of oak regeneration in Sweden. Because now it's not just about how the native oaks are doing, but also how this introduced species is impacting the balance of the forest.
That makes a lot of sense. So this research is really looking at how well all three of these oak species are regenerating in different parts of Sweden. And I have to admit, when I first started reading it, some of the findings really surprised me.
Oh, tell me more. What surprised you?
Well, for starters, you'd think that latitude would play a major role in oak regeneration, right? The further north you go in Sweden, the colder it gets. So you'd assume those oak seedlings would have a harder time
But
surviving.
that's what I would have thought too. It
Yeah.
seems logical. Colder temperatures, harsher conditions, less hospitable for those young trees.
Right, but that's not what this research found at all.
Really? So latitude doesn't seem to matter as much as you might expect.
Nope. According to the study, there was no significant relationship between latitude and oak regeneration. It was pretty much the same across the board, whether the oaks were in the north or the south of Sweden.
Wow, so those little oak seedlings are tougher than they look.
That's what I was thinking. They're obviously made of some pretty hardy stuff.
That's a really interesting finding, and it actually opens up some intriguing possibilities for the future of oaks in Sweden. If they're not limited by latitude as much as we thought, then they might be able to expand their range northward as the climate changes.
That's a good point. So, even though this research focused on the current state of oak regeneration, it also gives us a glimpse into how these forests might adapt to a changing climate.
Exactly. It's like these oaks have a hidden resilience that we might not have fully appreciated before. Now, of course, there are other factors that would come into play, like competition with other species, changes in precipitation patterns, and so on. But this finding about latitude is definitely a good sign for the adaptability of Swedish oaks.
So, we can't just assume that because a tree species is currently found in a specific region that it will always be limited to that area.
Exactly. Especially in the face of climate change, we might see some surprising shifts in where species are able to thrive in the future.
Okay, so latitude is out as the determining factor for oak regeneration. What about other environmental conditions? Did they find that oaks prefer the royal treatment, lots of moisture, nutrient-rich soil, that kind of thing?
That's a great question. And again, it's one where the research threw me for a bit of a loop. You'd think that more nutrients and more moisture would equal happier, healthier oak seedlings, right?
Right. That's what we usually hear about plants thriving in those kinds of conditions.
Exactly. But in this case, it wasn't quite so straightforward. The study actually found that oak regeneration decreased with higher levels of nitrogen and moisture in the soil.
Wait, really? So it's actually better for those young oaks to have a bit of a tougher start in life?
It seems that way. It's counterintuitive.
Yeah.
But sometimes a little bit of struggle early on can make a species more resilient in the long run.
That's fascinating. I wonder why that is, though. If oaks aren't benefiting from all those extra nutrients, what's going on?
Well, one possibility is that in nutrient-rich soils, other plant species, the ones that really thrive in those conditions, might outcompete the oak seedlings for resources.
So it's like they can't handle all the competition from those other plants.
Exactly. It's kind of like if you were trying to grow a delicate flower in a garden that's already overrun with weeds. Those weeds are going to suck up all the nutrients and sunlight, and your poor little flower might not stand a chance.
That makes sense. So even though oaks need certain nutrients to survive, too much of a good thing can actually be detrimental, especially when you've got other species vying for the same resources.
Exactly. It's all about balance in an ecosystem. And this finding actually has some pretty significant implications for forest management practices.
How so?
Well, sometimes foresters might add fertilizers to the soil, thinking they're giving the trees a helpful boost. But this research suggests that in the case of oaks, at least, that might not always be the best approach.
So what we think is helpful, adding nutrients to the soil, might actually be harming the chances of oak regeneration.
Precisely. It highlights why this kind of research is so crucial, because it challenges our assumptions about what's best for these ecosystems. We need to make sure that our interventions are actually helping, not inadvertently hindering these delicate balances.
Absolutely. So we've covered latitude and environmental factors, but what about the age of the forest itself? Did the researchers find any connection between how old a forest stand is and how well the oaks are regenerating?
This is where things get really interesting. The study found a really strong link between the age of a forest stand and how much oak regeneration was happening.
So older forests had more oak seedlings and saplings.
That's right. It seems like those older, more mature forests are practically like oak nurseries.
So what is it about those older forests that makes them such good environments for young oaks?
Well, there are a few theories floating around. One idea is that those older oak trees, they might just be more fertile.
So they're producing more acorns.
Exactly. And more acorns obviously means more potential for new oak trees to sprout up.
Makes sense. But it's probably not just about the number of acorns, right? There's got to be something about the environment in those older forests that gives those acorns a better chance of survival.
Right. You are. It's not just about quantity. It's about quality, too.
Think about it.
An established forest has had decades, even centuries, to build up a rich layer of organic matter in the soil.
Oh, so the soil is just naturally more fertile and supportive for those young trees.
Exactly. Plus, you've got all sorts of beneficial fungi and microbes that have had time to establish themselves in those older forests. They create these intricate networks that help with nutrient cycling and water absorption. It's like a whole underground ecosystem that we're just beginning to understand.
Wow, it really is amazing how much is going on beneath the surface that we never even see.
It really is. It's a whole other world down there. And it plays a huge role in the health and resilience of a forest.
Speaking of resilience, the study also looked at the impact of herbivores, right? Those acorn-loving deer and rodents must have some influence on oak regeneration, too.
Oh, absolutely. They're a big part of the equation. You see those acorns? They're like little packets of energy and nutrients just waiting to be devoured.
And deer and rodents? They're not going to say no to a free meal.
Exactly. So the researchers, they were curious about just how much of an impact those herbivores were having on oak regeneration. And to figure that out, they looked at a very special place in the Baltic Sea.
Oh, really? What's so special about the Baltic Sea when it comes to oaks?
Well, there's this island in the Baltic Sea called Blå Jungfrun, and it's kind of like an oak haven.
An oak haven? Why is that?
Because on Blå Jungfrun, there are no deer, no rodents to speak of. It's like a little slice of paradise for oak trees.
So what did the researchers find when they compared oak regeneration on Bloemfontein to other sites that did have deer and rodents?
You can probably guess where this is going. Oak regeneration on Bloemfontein was through the roof. It was significantly higher than any of the other sites they studied.
Wow, so those herbivores, they really do have a big impact on how many young oaks are able to survive.
They do. It's a classic example of how predators and prey populations keep each other in check. Without those herbivores to munch on the acorns and seedlings, the oaks on Bloemfontein are able to regenerate with wild abandon.
It's all about balance, isn't it? Too much of one thing can throw the whole system out of whack.
Exactly. It's a delicate dance between these different species and their environment. And speaking of delicate dances, let's talk about our non-native guest star, the red oak.
Ah, yes, the red oak. I'm curious to hear how it's faring in the midst of all this.
Well, the study found that all three oak species, the two native ones and the red oak, showed at least some level of regeneration. But here's the thing, the red oak's success was particularly noteworthy.
Noteworthy in a good way or maybe a slightly concerning way?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
On the one hand, it's pretty amazing how well this non-native species has adapted to the Swedish climate and forests.
It's found a way to thrive, even though it's not from around here.
Exactly. But on the other hand, its success does raise some concerns about its potential to become invasive.
Invasive in the sense that it could start outcompeting the native oaks for resources.
That's the worry. And the research seems to support that concern. They found that the red oak showed pretty similar regeneration patterns to the native oaks.
So they're going after the same resources, occupying the same niches in the forest.
Exactly. And because they're not native to this ecosystem, we don't really have a good understanding of what the long-term consequences of that competition might be.
It's kind of like a game of ecological chess, where we don't know all the rules yet.
That's a great analogy. We've introduced this new player into the game, and we're not entirely sure how it's going to change the dynamics.
So is there anything we can do, or is it just a matter of waiting and seeing what happens?
Well, we can't just sit back and hope for the best, that's for sure. Continued monitoring and research are going to be crucial. Moving forward, ecologists will be keeping a very close eye on these oak populations to see how the balance shifts over time.
And what are some of the key questions that those researchers will be trying to answer?
One of the big ones is how climate change is going to impact all of this. Even though the study didn't find a direct link between latitude and oak regeneration.
Right, because even if those oaks are tough enough to handle the current conditions, they might be pushed to their limits if the climate becomes even more unpredictable.
Exactly. And then there's the question of the red oak. Will it become a major threat to the native oak species? Or will the ecosystem eventually find a new balance?
So many questions. It seems like the takeaway here is that we need to stay vigilant. We can't just assume that because these oak forests seem to be doing okay now, that they'll always be fine.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We have to stay informed and proactive if we want to protect these valuable ecosystems. And that's true for forests all over the world, not just in Sweden.
Absolutely. So this research isn't just about a few oak trees in Scandinavia. It's about understanding the complex web of life on Earth and how we can ensure its health for generations to come.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, while we were talking about this research, it got me thinking about something, and I'm curious to hear your perspective on it too. We often focus on the big charismatic megafauna when we talk about conservation efforts, right?
The pandas, the elephants, the whales.
Exactly. Those are the animals that tend to capture the public's imagination. But this study is a good reminder that it's just as important to pay attention to the less glamorous species, too. The ones that might not make it onto the cover of National Geographic, but that play a vital role in their ecosystems nonetheless.
Oh, I completely agree. It's like that old saying, every creature plays a role. We can't just focus on saving the cute and cuddly ones. We have to think about the whole picture.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And often it's those less studied species, the ones we know less about, that hold the key to understanding how ecosystems function and how they might respond to change.
Yeah. It's like that saying we always hear, the more we learn, the more we realize how much we don't know.
Exactly. This deep dive into Swedish oak forests is a perfect example of that. It's a reminder that there's always more to discover, even in seemingly familiar places.
It makes you wonder what else is out there. What other subtle but important dynamics are we missing in these forests and others around the world?
Right. It's humbling to think about how much we still don't know about these ecosystems and the intricate ways they function.
It really is. And it makes you appreciate those underdogs even more. Those Swedish oaks, they might not be the most glamorous trees in the forest, but they're tough, they're adaptable, and they have a story to tell.
Absolutely. They're survivors. Oh. And who knows, maybe someday those oaks will stage a comeback.
A comeback? You think they might actually become the dominant species in those forests again?
Well, it's definitely possible, especially with climate change throwing everything up in the air. It's going to be fascinating to see how these forests evolve over the coming decades.
I agree. It's like we've just peeked behind the curtain of this one little corner of the natural world, and it's left us with even more questions than answers.
That's the beauty of science, isn't it? The more we learn, the more we realize how much more there is to discover.
So true. Well, I think that's a good place to wrap up our deep dive into the world of Swedish oak forests.
I agree. It's been a pleasure exploring this research with you.
It really has. And for anyone listening who's ever had the chance to walk through a forest and just feel that sense of awe and wonder.
Or even just that feeling of peace and tranquility that you only seem to get when you're surrounded by trees.
Exactly. Well, this deep dive is a reminder that those forests are even more complex and fascinating than we often realize.
They're full of hidden connections, intricate relationships, and stories that have been unfolding for centuries.
So the next time you find yourself in a forest, take a moment to appreciate all those hidden wonders.
And remember those Swedish oaks? Those tough, resilient little trees that are holding their own against all odds.
Absolutely. They're an inspiration to us all.
Well said. So until next time, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep diving deep into the research that matters to you.
And we'll be right here with you every step of the way. Thanks for joining us.